Good morning, folks. I should ask you, are you all sitting comfortably, and then complain if you are, because you might fall asleep. No, nice to see so many people joining us. So let me just briefly talk about a couple of things. First of all, me. You can probably tell by the sort of slightly suspect accent that they imported me from some weird country. I'm still getting used to court protocols of living in the States. I've been here for about a year now. Just kind of interesting. I mean, the thing that fascinates me with this country is like traffic lights. Now, this I don't get, the turn right thing. What's with the, you can't go, you get to, you know, you can turn right on red. So I think that's convenient. Then I discover that when it's green, you can go because pedestrians are walking.
Sometimes.
You see, here we go.
Try it out here on 40th.
And what are with pedestrians in car parks? Are they indestructible? I have this theory, like, we need to take all the American teenagers and take them to Sicily for a week's traffic training. The ones that survive, we can bring back and they'll be qualified. But it just amazes me, some of this stuff. But it's kind of interesting. And then, of course, there's certain words as well. Awesome is my favorite example. You know, you might have noticed, I don't know if you guys noticed, you use awesome a lot. And, you know, being a kind of plain old Scot, I hear the word awesome and think, yeah, that's truly shocking. Because does that know what it means? I'll get a bit dangerous to it. Worn is another word. You know, when you say to a Scotsman, is anything worn under your kilt? They go, no, it's all in fine working order. See, we have different meanings. So if I say a few things that you don't understand the meanings, it's just probably because I'm foreign. Actually, I'm an alien. It's wonderful. It's such a fine country to live in. They say, you're a registered alien. So if you think there's any aliens in this country, you're right, and I'm one of them. Right. Documents. I'm going to talk about overview documents. I just thought I'd do a little test to get your interest in the morning. Can anyone read that? They say somebody can read it. It's quite interesting, isn't it?
Do you want me to actually read it?
No, not really. I suspect most of you can read it if you try a little, can't you? It's kind of curious, though, isn't it? Actually, it's really hard to type this stuff, by the way. It's even worse than normal. But I just thought, you know, it's kind of interesting that even with complete load of what looks almost like crap, you can actually read it. Not that I'm suggesting our documents are full of crap, but, you know. It's not quite that bad. I think some of them are pretty good. Some of them are not so good, if I'm really honest. Let me do a really suspect thing. I know our people had asked you earlier about change management and what you would like to see or what you'd not like to see. And I have to say, I'm a bit in Matt's camp. I'm a little old-fashioned. But if I just said to you from a change management point of view, we just did a web service that allowed you to diff two different copies and get a word diff, would that keep most of you happy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Yes? I mean, it seems we're... You know, I'm a simple guy, but it seems we've kind of overcomplicated a little bit, and maybe that would just do, would it? You know, we actually do diffs. Every time we make a so-called build of the documents, the build process creates a diff documents. We actually have these diffs right now. We just don't publicize them. I think the more complicated question, so we always have previous build, current build diffs, and we could just expose these. I think the more complicated question is if you've read a document and you've not looked at it, say, for a year, and you come back, what you really want to know is anything of substance changed? The substance question is kind of interesting because the trouble is that's actually quite hard to measure because what we really mean is anything on the wire changed is what we really want. So, go on, you're on the chat.
Yesterday there was the automatic test generation talk. And the way to phrase it in their terms would be, would you have to change your model?
Yeah. So it's a fair comment. Would you have to change your model if you were in test generation? That's a fair comment. So I do think we have to move to that. I mean, let me be quite honest. This is not Microsoft speaking. This is Neil speaking here. In my view, I would like to reduce the amount of change in the document set. For instance, a document that hasn't got content change, I personally wouldn't change. I would just print an errata to go with it for typos and things and leave the darn thing alone. But there you are. I've got that off my chest. That's Neil's theory according to change management. But I'll be lobbying for my theory. Right, let me talk about what I'm really meant to be talking about. You see, I'm one of these people, if you give me a stage, I just go off kind of tangent. Sorry, can't control myself. So I'm really here to talk about overview documents, which I'll do reasonably briefly. I just want to talk a little bit. I know there's some old hands here, but there's also some newer people. I just want to talk a little bit about the document set, what you see, what you don't see. There's some surprising things in there. And if I said, a lot of people get to PDFs, people alluded to this, the way you actually find content is you just jump on your favorite search engine, which I, sadly is usually not Bing, and you type something in, and bang, you're in the middle of a document, and you go, oh, I'll just have that PDF, thank you, and you save it. And I'm sure that's the open modus operandi for lots of people here. There is some dangers in that, by the way, and I'm going to talk about that then just briefly. The dangers we're trying to fix, and the danger I refer to here is there are documents that have the same name that are in two programs that have different content, and if you jump in that way, you don't know which one you're really in, but I'll talk a little about that. But anyway, I'm meant to be talking about overview documents, and I'll come to them. Let me find a web browser of some form. I didn't mean to load that. I was in the middle of getting everything set up nicely, and Windows 8. Can you believe it? Windows 8 had some sort of fault. But it is kind of beta stuff. Why am I not going to web browser? Here we go. Let me just do this. So, just quickly about, it's a bit small, okay. I was trying to make it bigger at some point. Top level of open specifications, there's a couple of bits. I just want to, there's preview specifications. If you haven't found them, that's where a lot of the stuff that we've been churning out recently, where there's a lot of churn. But dive in here, I'm just going to dive in a lot of it so as you can see what I'm actually meant to be talking about. And if I dive in here, there's these so-called overview documents, okay? And there's a list of them in here. That's basically the documents I'm going to talk about. So, let me flip back to here. So that's really what I'm going to talk about as a whole. I'll talk a little bit about some of the surrounding stuff. So just quick recap for those that haven't heard about this before. The documents that Microsoft publish come under what we call three programs, okay? We have a long history of antitrust actions against us, two of which were, one was MCPP, which is the American action, and WSPP is the European action. So we have two different document set we published that has a great big lump of overlap. Okay? So there, just to get your heads around it, MCPP is basically client-server protocols. Okay? Which sounds simpler enough. It's simple enough. The WSPI was a bit different. People always go, oh, it's server-to-server protocols, but it wasn't. And when you think about it, server-to-server almost means nothing. What it was protocols used by Windows Server operating systems to provide file and print user and group admin services to Windows workgroup networks. Oh, and by the way, just this stuff was written by the EU, the terminology. Windows workgroups doesn't mean a Windows workgroup. Naturally, it means a Windows domain. Okay, so whenever you see Windows Workgroup, when the European Union wrote it, it doesn't mean Windows Workgroup. Hey, I worked for them for a while, so I'm not done. But basically, it is a bunch of protocols that Windows servers use when they're sharing information. That's probably a simpler way to describe it. So it's not everything that's server to server. There are some protocols that aren't. In addition to that, we also have this thing called the MIP program, which means that we published a whole bunch of other protocols as well. So you get things like the .NET framework, Office, SharePoint, Exchange, various file formats, mainly Office. There's a bunch of standards implementations and XAML documents and things. So there's a whole bunch of stuff, all roughly on the same page on MSDN. So MCPP and really WSPI as well, and I'll just talk briefly about that. So these are the protocol specifications that most of you people are here and you're interested in. I don't know if you've picked up, they come in several flavors. So these are what we call the templates. When we say to a product group in Microsoft, you've got to go and document your protocol, they have to pick one of these template type styles too, okay? So if you've got a block protocol, that just means you have a generic protocol. Okay. And if the actual template, this is a Word template they fill in. Basically, that's the most generic style. And then there's some specializations. We go, well, if you've got an RPC protocol, and when we say RPC protocol, what we really mean is a set of libraries that Windows calls across the wire. It's not really a protocol, if it makes sense. Yeah, just use RPC to make a bunch of library calls. So that's what we call an RPC protocol. And pretty much a similar thing in the SOAP world. We make a bunch of SOAP calls. These documents, if you look at an RPC document, the quick way to tell you have an RPC document is if you just look at the tail end of the section. I think I can probably do this if I go to like here. If you pop up a protocol document, if you just look, if section 6, you can see that it says full IDL. If there's a full IDL at the back of the document, you're looking at an RPC document, basically. Okay, and equally in a similar vein, if you go and look, and what you see, it says instead of IDL, it says full WSDL. You're looking at a SOAP document. Okay, that's probably the most effective way to tell quickly what you're looking at. There's a few other things in the mix as well. There's data structures, which the title pretty much says it all. So that's a data structure that's used by one or more protocols somewhere in the mix. Okay. So most of you, I'm guessing, the fact that you're even sitting in this room have probably seen some of this stuff already. Now, historically, we've done two different sets of overview documents. When the US antitrust case was still in full flight and Microsoft was under oversight by the Department of Justice, we did a set of documents known as system documents. And these, basically what the DOJ asked us to do was to write overview documents that had normative statements in. And it was sort of akin to saying, well, if you're going to take a group of protocols, you've got to use them exactly the same ways as Windows does. And there's a whole bunch of musts in them. The thing that's kind of awkward about these, to be honest, first of all, the so-called systems were slightly contrived. Okay. And the second one is, frankly, most of you people will pick and choose the protocols you want to use. And, you know, clearly you want to interrupt. You probably wouldn't bother unless you want to interrupt with Windows. Although we've occasionally had people use our protocol documents that they didn't use them to interrupt with Windows. They used them to interrupt with some of their own stuff, and they just implemented them. So you're nodding as if you've done that as well. I think no. I mean, it seems fair enough. It's, you know, it's a protocol document. You know, do with it what you like. And not only do I think you will pick the protocol document you want, you may even just pick the subsection of the protocol document, or you might not even implement the whole thing. So these were kind of problematic. And we had the other problem is the EU antitrust case wanted us to kind of go south, and they wanted us to go north, and that these ones we were meant to be normative documents, and the EU ones were meant to be non-normative, which is a kind of interesting position to be in. So what we've actually done now, and this is what I'm just going to talk about, we've essentially frozen these. They still exist. You can go and find them in the mix. I'll just show you some of the names of what there are. But there's also a set of new ones, what we call overview documents rather than system documents. Just before I dive in to do that, let me just come back to the TD thing again. And this really is just for the benefit of anyone that's new here and picking up the documents. You sound like you're dying. Did you do that on someone else's place? He's all right, he's from Microsoft. Quickly, let me say that. Oh no, I've been recorded again. I get comments about I've been recorded in the past. They say, Neil, we saw you on camera on some Channel 9 thing. You were being rude. It was a cultural mistake, honestly. So let me just talk very briefly about the specs, okay? The Microsoft technical documents, as we call them, TDs, we tend to call them, acronym city, they're based on the layout of RFCs. Now, I know the way they're laid out bugs some people, because there is a kind of thing that you end up moving back and forward between sections of the documents rather uncomfortably at times when you're reading them. But basically, they're laid out like this. And they're based on the RFCs, by the way. In a previous life, I wore a different hat. I was an antitrust regulator for the European Union. And when we were talking to Microsoft, we just said, well, we don't really care what style you use. There's lots of different, there's RFCs, there's ISO standards, there's anti, just pick one. They picked RFCs, and that's what they're based on. So obviously they do an intro. There's a bunch of interesting, sort of useful information there. Then it defines messages. Then there's protocol details. And let me just talk about this a little bit. There is this notion of an ADM, an abstract data model, basically the state model of the protocol that you get. Okay, and so really when you think about a protocol spec, you have this abstract data model, you have messages, and then you have message processing. And the message processing essentially receives and sends messages and makes changes to the ADM. That's the basic model you've got on a spec. There's some other stuff about initialization timers and so on. But the basic model of a protocol document is that. So you will find yourself sort of jumping a little bit between the so-called abstract data model section, the message section, and the message processing section. Okay? That's true of RFCs as well. And I'm sort of guessing that now we've got like 1,000+ documents, we're probably not going to change our model anytime soon. So just to give you a kind of feel for the layout of the documents, so in the MCPP world, the document set kind of looks like this. You have this overview document, so-called system document, WSO, sitting at the top of the tree. And that's a kind of uber overview, if you like. That tells you about all sorts of stuff that's in the document set. There's a bunch of what we call reference documents. There's a glossary. There's MSD type, which I'll come back to in a little bit. But basically, it's the type definitions you need. For instance, if you're going to use an RPC document, if you were going to lift the IDL for any of the RPC documents and use that verbatim, there's a bunch of IDL in here that you also want that is the basic type definitions. D-type is the sort of equivalent of, what is it, NT.h in the header file set, Windows header file set. The advantage of the IDL in here is it's much, much cleaner than the Windows header file. Windows header files carry all this legacy crap in it that is really horrible to unravel. And D-type, the IDL in D-type is a much simplified set that matches the protocol set. So you might find that useful to look at. And then there's a bunch of error references, a bunch of locale codes, a Unicode reference, and there's this thing called ADMS. Let me just talk very briefly about this. ADMS is essentially a cross-reference for... So we've seen that protocol documents have this notion of an abstract data model, and so they have state. There are times when protocol A messes with, reads with, changes the state in another protocol, okay? ADMS is essentially a cross-reference that tells you when all of that happens. So if you basically have the question, you know, let's take a protocol, MS-CAL. Does MS-CAL mess with any abstract data model in any other protocol? If you want to know the answer to that, you can go and look at that. It isn't information that isn't in the protocol doc somewhere. If you went to CAL, it actually says that. It just happens to be a summary of that information in one place, okay? So that's all that's there. The WSPI world, so this is the European antitrust world, as it were. Pretty similar model. And these are two trees. You can walk in MSDN, basically. There's an Uber overview as well. It's called WPO, the Windows Protocol Overview, in this case. You get a bunch of TDs, of course, again. A whole bunch of protocol documents. And a pretty similar set of reference documents, but a different set of overview documents, okay? So that's what you got in, oops. And this is just what I said before. WSPI, it's just a reminder, WSPI isn't everything that's in Windows. It's just file and print, user and group admin, and then this sort of, what would you call it, a mixed bag of other stuff is really what falls in there. So overviews, what do we have overviews of? And this is really just, a kind of high-level view of the things that we have overview documents for. We've either got or we're still working on. Most of these are here. Some of them are very quirky, like multiplayer games. Happened that the Department of Justice, one of the guys in the DOJ, was very keen in multiplayer games, so we ended up with a multiplayer games overview. I've not met anyone else that's particularly interested in. Let me come to the fact that if you jump on the web and you jump into Google or whatever, type in the name of some stuff, find yourself in the middle of a protocol document. you could actually find yourself in either the MCPP program or the WISPI program, and you might not notice which one you're in. If you're not aware that these two things exist, you might just go, oh, this looks like the right protocol doc. But it turns out, in some cases, there's differences. So, you know, protocol XXX could be substantially smaller if you pick up the MCPP document than if you pick up the WISPI document. Now, I know this is, frankly, it's a pain in the ass, to be quite blunt about it. We're trying very hard to get to what we call a unified document set. Now that the DOJ is not kind of looking directly over our shoulder, a unified document set is a real possibility, and we're working very hard to get to that. So probably in an, I don't know if it's going to be this year, it'll probably be the tail end of this year, we should get to a situation where that will go away and there'll just be one document set. If I gave you a loose algorithm that says, if you copy the PDFs, which it sounds like a lot of people do, to a local machine, copy the NCPP documents into a directory, and then copy the WISPI ones on top of them, and you'll pretty much end up with exactly what you want. There's a few oddities there, but actually the oddities don't have what we were talking about earlier. There's no on-the-wire. You'll end up with the right on-the-wire specs if you do that. The stuff that's different that you might lose by accident is all kind of referencey stuff, and it's not actually of substance. This is just a list, and I have to confess that I haven't updated this list with Windows 8. I thought about trying to do it, and I realized it was just too big a job. But this is the documents that are basically the ones to watch out for, that you might get caught out if you pick them up and don't pay attention to what program they come out of. Okay? So I'm talking about overview documents. Let me just whiz through the ones that we've frozen, the so-called MCPP system documents. So they're so-called defined task documents. So they aren't quite systems. They're based on a series of tasks that you might want to accomplish using protocols. An obvious example of this would be joining a domain. There's a bunch of different ways that a machine could join a domain. There's a bunch of different protocols in play. MS DISO actually dealt explicitly with that. And so you'll find in these documents examples of how to perform a set of operations using Windows protocols. I'll come to it in a little bit as well. We also have a series of network captures that we have created and we've posted on the CodePlex website that are annotated to match these documents. Okay? And so if you're interested in these, you can go download the capture files. The capture files have been done with NEM1.3, and Paul, I think it was on Tuesday, did a little demo about the fact that you can annotate them. And so the actual capture files, so you load these capture files into Wireshark or Ethereal or whatever as well, but if you load them into NEM1, you can actually read the annotation. And the annotations give you cross-references from the capture straight back to these documents. Okay, so you can kind of match up this behavior is causes this packet sequence. Okay, so that you might find some of these useful. So as I say, there's five of these so-called defined task documents. To be honest, this one's pretty uninteresting. This deals with the old net meeting protocols, which basically I don't think anyone's left interesting in. That was another fascinating area, you know, net meeting. There was only one industry that was really interested in net meeting. Any idea which industry it is? This is my favorite joke. It's the porn industry. Just think, the Department of Justice forced Microsoft to write an overview document to help the porn industry. It's kind of an interesting world we live in, really, isn't it? There's then 13 protocol family documents. Okay, so these are protocols. Exactly as it says, protocol families. So a bunch of protocols that are used by Windows to achieve nominally, they called them systems, but they were a little contrived to systems, so just be wary of that. So I'm not going to go through these all in detail. So if you see a subject matter that you might be interested in, then this might help you. I'm just going to pick out a couple of examples. There's File Access System Overview, which is kind of interesting. So that's the SMB family, basically. That talks about how Windows does a bunch of stuff that doesn't show in protocols. For instance, if you want to share a directory and share it using NFS and SMB, it gives you some insight into how Windows does it. Okay, that's the sort of thing that's in there. You'll see in a moment when I talk about overview documents, that actually gets split up in the overview document world, and we actually have an overview for file access and an overview for essentially file management now. So the management and the actual access protocols were split into two different documents. If you want the annotated captures for the system documents, that's the place to go get them. We haven't posted them yet, but we will be posting pretty soon an equivalent set for the EU overview documents as well. So there'll be another bunch of captures that map to our overview documents with annotations in them. We have most of them done, we're just waiting. We're waiting for Windows 8 to finally stabilize on its protocol set before we publish them. So, come to overview documents. This is the current set of overview documents that we have, and these are ones that will be maintained going forward. A bunch of these have Windows 8 content in them as well, if you're interested. I appreciate that not every company is interested in what the very latest Microsoft operating system is doing, but it gives you some insight. We're going to talk specifically this document. Ganga, who's sitting up there at the back, is going to talk about this doc. This is a new document called, see, here you are, I'm a Scotsman, I want to call this AZOD, but of course you guys call it AZOD here. So AZOD talks about authorization, and it includes a bunch of information on the new claims-based model that Windows 8 has. So if you want an overview of that, some high-level overview, that's the place to go and read. And then there's a bunch of other overview documents covering a whole bunch of areas. To be honest, this has been a hard job for us this year, just keeping up. For instance, the remote desktop protocols, I would be the first to put my hand up and say that hasn't been updated to capture all the very latest Windows 8 RDP, because they've been churning out RDP protocols like a production line this year. So that will be good up to Windows 7, and we'll have to update it to catch up with Windows 8. Any questions on that lot, or are we good? Say, this is really just kind of, here's some information if you want to go and read it. By the way, the intent isn't that you go and try and write code based on this. This is just giving you an idea. Here's a group of protocols. This is why Windows uses them, what Windows does with them. The other thing you get in here, which you don't always pick up from just reading a spec, is it talks about, well, Windows did this in the past, and it now does this, and it sort of gives you a bit of either-or information about, well, actually, this protocol does really just replace that protocol. Or the plan is this protocol will replace them, and we've only got kind of halfway through the process so far. Okay, so you get some of that information as well. So if you're coming along, you might choose to read this and say, well, we'll just go with, protocol A or protocol B. We wouldn't support both. Okay. I also have here, and I'm definitely not, you probably can't read that in the back. This is one of these lists. So I tried to get into the slides, the new and changed Windows 8 protocols. And it was one of these lists that started off quite small, and somehow it grew. I kept checking it, and it seemed to keep getting bigger and bigger. Actually, I really wish, in a sense, that I had the new and changed separately now as well. Anyway, there's two slides of this, so I definitely ain't going to sit and labor over it. The slides are going to be available. You can see it. But for what it's worth, given that this was Identity Plugfest, I did pay specific attention to make sure I captured all the identity-related ones on here. Okay. I'm not going to make you feel any better when I say this, but I'm going to say it anyway, is that I find it hard when I check in for change ones whether the changes are actually of substance or not. That's a kind of awkward question. If you want more information than that, we definitely have lists of things that have changed, etc. And if you really want information like that and you're struggling to get it, email the doc support things. We do have a bunch of this stuff, and we have various reasons to be looking at this ourselves. Just on the parser front, if you're, we haven't done so yet, but we're planning in the next probably couple of months to release an updated parser set for Netmon 3.4. And that parser set will have a bunch of what I would call the key Windows 8 protocols. Mainly, and when I say key, what we really mean is these, the claims-based access control protocols. Okay, so this I just want to give you a feel. These are the protocols that are new or have changed that relate to claims-based access control. I just, for my interest as much as anything, I stuck a page count in there as well, just so I could get a kind of feel for size. I know it's a very kind of raw measure of size, but it gives you kind of feel for it as well. So we will have parsers for all of the ones there that appear on the wire. Not everything here appears on the wire, but there will be an updated parser set for this stuff. The parser set also includes a bunch of new RDP protocols as well, if you're looking for that stuff. Okay. But if you're looking for claims-based access control, as I say, a bunch of this stuff will be there. When we publish the annotated capture files, AZOD is the overview document that Gang have been working on. You'll find we will also be publishing a bunch of captures that show a bunch of these claims-based scenarios on the wire, and these parcels will also allow you to load it up and look and see the packets and things. Okay, so we're trying to expose as much of that as possible. There you go. I'm done. Try not to make it too painful, given it's overview documents. A bit snorry material, really, isn't it? Questions, guys? Anything? Silence is golden.
Just a comment that the overview documents are fantastic.
Thank you.
They're the best place to start exploring everything.
You don't always find them when you Google them.
Yeah.
So it's good to, thank you. That's kind of you to say so.
As I mentioned on Tuesday in my presentation, I am working with the Windows team to get all the documents into the Pivot. So soon, hopefully, you'll be able to access using the filter.
Good point.
Okay. On Tuesday in my presentation, I told you guys that we're working on getting all of the Windows documents into the Open Specifications Interactive Pivot. And these overview documents will be in there as well as soon as we can make that happen. And you'll be able to easily filter on the template type saying overview, and you'll be able to access all of these. And then hopefully we'll also be able to pivot and filter on the different groups that Neil has presented here. So it'll make it a lot easier for you to find, rather than trying to go to the MSDN, tree to find all the documents.
Yeah, just to follow up on that, actually, the pivot is part of the reason we also want to go to a unified document set, so that you can just say, yeah, give me the interesting stuff, and it'll bundle you up a zip or something, and you can grab it and download it. Because there's no doubt it is a bit.
Yeah, so the functionality that I showed you, you'll be able to zip, you'll be able to pack up what you want and zip it and PDF it. Yeah.
Yeah, actually, just one other thing. Let me tell you about something we do internally that we don't always talk about publicly. We have a so-called metal classification. Essentially, we classify the protocols in terms of interest. So in other words, if there's a document nobody ever downloaded or ever looked at and never queried, we call that a bronze document. Frankly, we have documents that not only has nobody looked at, I'm strongly advising people never to look, actually. But we want to interoperate with you if you've got it. So, but it's probably a waste of your time, frankly. And obviously we hit bronze, silver, gold, platinum. I mean, I don't know whether that's of any use to people other than Microsoft. We use that a lot to prioritize work and a bunch of other things. But all I'm thinking is the pivot table is that actually the truth, platinum and gold is probably the only document you'll ever really be interested in. But the way that classification is an ongoing process we have. So if one of you guys phones up or sends an email and says, oh, we're really interested in this document, we have a bunch of queries, that would bump it up the priority level. So it's completely based on kind of level of interest. People show interest in it, then we bump it up the level. And despite that mechanism, there's still documents that nobody's ever shown any interest in.
So on that note, Office does the same thing. Would that be of interest to you to have a metal classification filter in the pivot? Would that help you at all? Does anybody have a comment on that?
I mean, my immediate comment on that is if the pivot's live and you want to go and download your documents, a document set,
like grabbing the platinum set's probably what you want. You know, it's probably the best set of useful material, you know, to stop you having to go coming back lots of times. That was probably a pretty reasonable document set to grab and download.
Yeah,
I mean,
okay.
It doesn't mean you can't get other stuff. It's just a kind of practical way to classify them.
I think for us, it might not be as important to know metal classification because, you know, either somebody's requested something from us, in which case we don't care whether it's bronze, gold, or
no,
that.
No,
but connected documents might be useful. You know, people that have downloaded this doc are also very interested in this, this, and this.
Huh, okay.
So somebody says, I want this protocol. We find a doc for that protocol. Well, if there are three other docs that are connected that are important, that aren't,
yeah,
there may be a list of 50 references. Well, which of those are actually matter?
So a very short answer to that actually is with the overview document. That, in a sense, that's what the overview documents do. They group related protocols. And if you actually, if a protocol document shows up in an overview document, it will show up as a member of a grouping. And that pretty much, I mean, I'm not saying that there won't be people that will download one and won't have that grouping. I don't know how much of that information we have. That's a pretty interesting question, actually. We should.
Yeah, so the problem with that, we're trying to.
We actually have had that feedback before, and we're trying to work on that. The problem with that is that a lot of the customers, instead of downloading a particular document, they realize, oh, that's located in this zip file that has all the documents. So it's hard for us to track exactly which documents you are requesting because everybody downloads the zip and it's like, okay, so what else did you want?
Yeah, we're hoping the pivot table will help that process, actually. We'll get a little bit more fine-grained information on what people are interested in. So all we're confessing is we don't always have that information right now.
which brings us back to the overview documents. And by the way, I will make a plug. Thanks, Neil, on this. We also have a recording on Channel 9 for a number of these presentations. Neil has presented on some different perspectives of system overview documents. We had Ganga, who is going to present on AZOD today. We have an AuthSOD presentation, so I do want to make sure that as you review this presentation on the video, you can go back to the older ones. They're available there. And it is, hopefully, we find that these documents are helpful. For example, with AZOD today, or with AuthSOD, there's a series of protocol documents we know are very interesting to you, the various Kerberos and Kyle and Pack and other authentication and AD-related documents. So, we, for example, for the domain join in AD-OD, and we'll talk about that later today in more detail. So these documents, if they are the glue, as Neil pointed out, for groups of interesting documents, we have found that to be true based on your feedback in the past, and hopefully you can continue to give us more feedback on that.
Just to try and answer that a little bit more as well, the section in the TD's relationship to other protocols is an attempt to try and address that related protocol without dumping. The trouble with the normative references thing, as you rightly say, is a bit. And so this section. The 1.4 section is meant to try and address that. It just tells you what are the direct relationships. But as always with specifications, the interlocking picture is a bit awkward at times. Okay.
Thanks, Dale.
Thank you, guys.